Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening to the show. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. And at times, a show for me to go on some rants. So we're going to hit a couple topics today. We're going to talk about why I am not ever going to wear my Fitbit again, and I am becoming an Apple Watch guy. We're going to be talking about a cool little thing I saw, a little promotion to start coding, which could be really cool. I'm thinking about checking it out, so I thought I would share it with you. And to continue our series, part two of our series, we're going to be talking about a question that a ton of you guys have been asking me, and that is, what are Christian companies that I can invest in? So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about where you could look to invest in Christian companies, why we don't see so many Christian companies on the public stock exchange, and some other great stuff. So I hope you listen to this whole show. We are part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Go over to crosspolitic.com for now. It soon will be the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network.com. And go become a member. Come alongside of us as we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. We're talking about fighting and laughing and feasting in business, politics, culture, in our church, in all areas of life. You get great benefits. If you put in HTBT in the memo field when you become a member, you get one of these snazzy little mugs. They're great. I love it. You also get a lot of great benefits that CrossPolitik it puts on into the network. I'm also thinking about putting some of the stock tips that I've been looking at, some of the stocks that I've been considering. So if you might be interested in seeing what stocks I'm purchasing, what stocks I'm shorting, what stocks I'm long on, that might be something that's coming in the near future. If that is something that's interesting you, let me know. And I will think about putting that as one of the member benefits as well. Also, I've been working on a book that will be eventually out talking about my life and certain aspects of my business career, starting a business. And that I'm still working on it. And I'm sharing that so I have some accountability. So you guys hold me to it. I'll figure out how to put that on as a benefit as well. Maybe I'll release it a month early for CrossPolitik members to access it for free, something like that. If you have any questions, comments, you could reach out to me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You could email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. This show, every weekday streams on the CrossPolitik social media channels, soon to be the Fight, Laugh, Feast channels. We do it at 12 p.m. Pacific every weekday. So check that out in the video. If you normally watch on iTunes or Android or wherever you listen to and you want to see the videos, see some of the cool features that we implement during the video, like sometimes I'll show my screen of what I'm reading, some articles, graphs, especially in the finance, the investing series that we are doing. There's going to be graphs and charts to help kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you get into details, it could be pretty confusing if you're just listening. Sometimes you just need to see it. So I'd encourage you to check out the live streams. Also, it's on YouTube. You can check it out there as well. All right, so the first thing I wanted to talk about is nothing really to do with investing, except I'm no longer going to invest in this company. I had some shares, I had some options. I was actually kind of long on them, and I was feeling pretty optimistic about them, and that is Fitbit. But I had a terrible customer service experience with them. So I have had the Fitbit Blaze, for those of you watching can see. I'm not even wearing it, because I'm not going to wear it anymore. I actually really love the watch. It was really great. I've had it for a while. I've actually had this one for less than a year. It broke on me originally, and they had great customer service back then. They had me test some things. They looked at it from their side, and then they sent one. I think it took like 3 or 4 days because I live in Hawaii. That's one of the downsides of living in paradise, is it takes a little longer to ship things, and they replaced it. And so it's been about 8 or 9 months since I've had this new watch. I think maybe closer to a year. I'm not really sure. Let's just say a year just for argument's sake. And I put it back on after not wearing it for a week. It's really hard to wear it, actually, when you have a kid because you're worried about him scratching it and all, and you scratching him with it, because my kid just kicks and moves and, you know, a typical boy. And I put it back on, and I wanted to track my sleep again, and it stopped tracking it. It didn't track my sleep, which is one of the core things that I love about Fitbit, besides tracking my running and tracking my exercise. Sorry if I hit my mic, you might have heard that. It also does a great job with documenting your food and your intake when you log that, and it also documents your sleep. And that's something I'm really interested in, because I am a really big proponent of getting good sleep, and I want to make sure that I'm sleeping well through the night and getting my hours logged in. So it's kind of a big deal to me. So I contacted Fitbit support on Twitter, and you can see it was actually really interesting. I've never done it before through the Fitbit app. And I went to go click on it, and they led with a message, which was really cool. I really actually like that. That is a great thing. So they said, we want to help, as you can see. What can we do for you today? And I told them my issue. As you can see, I'm not going to read it all, but they give me some links for some help and how to sync it. And I gave them an example and gave them my email, which I'm going to black out somehow or maybe not show this piece. And then they sent me some stuff. And then I tried it for a few days, got a feedback notice before the issue was resolved, which is a big, big problem, I would say. If you have a company and you have some kind of automation where it sends out some feedback or a survey to see how well you did with your customer service, make sure that in the process, it doesn't get sent out until the case is closed. If it's an incident report, if it's a number, whatever it is, make sure that you're tracking it so that it doesn't get sent out before the issue is resolved. Because I have this survey of how they're handling it, and I gave them a 3 out of 5 because it wasn't even dealt with yet. They haven't helped me with my issue. So going down, as you can see, this is their suggestion. I told them I did everything that they asked, and they said, you can just start manually logging your sleep. Why would I be content with that answer of manually logging my sleep? I have a device that's supposed to do it for me. If I wanted to manually log my sleep, I'd get a piece of paper and a pencil and log it myself. And that was it. And so I went on, and I won't bore you with any more, you know, Twitter messaging. And I went on to talk to them about how that's not acceptable. And they basically said, oh, we note our customer suggestions and we'll take it into account. And that was it. And they just left me hanging. So I thought I would share that with you. I'm never going to buy a Fitbit again. I thought that was terrible handling of it. And I'm sharing with you so you don't have to go through the same. And if you have some shares of Fitbit, you might want to reconsider if that's how they're going to start treating customers. The second more positive note that I wanted to leave or share with you guys is Entrepreneur Magazine has this promotion right now, and I don't know how often they do this. I sometimes read Entrepreneur Magazine, sometimes I don't. Apparently they have this whole cart that you can buy different things from, and they have this cool little complete learning code masterclass. It's $39, and it has a number of different types of programming languages to learn. And they put like a cost of like $1,000 on it. I don't know if it costs $1,000 or not, but I'm really considering learning it or taking it to learn just maybe a very basic level of these different languages, because I think it's very valuable to have code experience to kind of get an understanding of how it is. And it'd be great if you had an app idea to just spend a couple weeks on coding it yourself for free and just testing it out and have some simple MVPs thrown out there and just seeing what bites. That could be a great side hustle. That could be a great side business to start. And if you don't have to look for someone to give some equity to or pay somebody to build your idea for you, you could just do it yourself. Well, that's pretty great. And if you could get a start or just, you know, the first step for $39, that might not be a bad idea. So I'll put that link in the show notes. If you have been interested at all, don't know where to start, maybe this is a good place to start. Some of those languages, like C++, it's a very common one, and you can look into it more yourself and see if it's something you like. All right, so I wanted to name this show, If Chick-fil-A Went Public, They Would Open on Sundays. And I'm going to make an argument for this, and this is under the heading of, what are Christian companies that I can invest in? And I just want to say right off the bat, I don't know of any publicly traded companies that have strong Christian values that are pushing them, that are making a cultural battle, a cultural push for Christian values that we should be supporting as much. I do know a lot of private companies that are like that, like Chick-fil-A. And so you say, well, that doesn't do me any good because how am I going to invest in a private company? Well, there is a lot of ways. Just like a publicly traded company, there are stock issued in a private company. The big difference is it's not listed on the stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, or wherever, whatever stock exchange globally that it could be listed on. But a private company still issues stock, and all stock is a piece of paper that says you own a piece of the company. Now, there's preferred stock, and we'll get into that in a second. Well, we're not going to get into it too deeply. Basically, preferred stock is some stock that has some special rights attached to it. Sometimes you get rights to liquidation preferences. If the company goes bankrupt, you get the paid back or a portion of the company proceeds after all the debt's paid off. You're like the first one in line to get some money. And there's some other things. It depends on what it is. There's sometimes special contracts issued. I think Warren Buffett gets some sweet deals with preferred stock. So private companies and public companies, they both have stock. Now, how do you invest in a private company? Well, the bigger companies that have been established, I'm just going to keep using Chick-fil-A as an example, they're probably not selling their stock. I mean, they're doing pretty well and they're probably happy. Now, there are other places that you can go, and maybe it's a startup, maybe it's a smaller company that are looking for people to invest in their company, and that's where you can look and you make the biggest difference. And that's actually more exciting to me than a publicly traded company. If you're looking to invest and encourage and support a Christian company that's fighting the battle, that's proclaiming the lordship of Jesus in every area of your life, that's gonna give you a good return on your money, you're gonna make a bigger difference in those smaller companies than those bigger companies that you would find on the stock exchange. Before we get into the different ways that you might be able to invest in those smaller companies, I wanna go back and talk about this. Chick-fil-A, if they went public, would be open on Sundays. And I wanna talk about this because I don't think it is a good idea. If you want to keep your company a Christian company, if you want to keep it influencing culture and having a strong Christian value company, you're not going to be able to do that with a publicly traded company. And Chick-fil-A being closed on Sundays is my perfect case and point for this. And I say this because of something called EPS. And it's not because of this, but this is a good indicator that a lot of investors look for when they're purchasing stock. And EPS is earnings per share. Now, for every stock, they want to know how much earnings do you get per share. And they're expecting that to increase over time. Now, maybe if Chick-fil-A went public in the near term, they would be okay and be able to keep themselves closed on Sunday. They'd be able to continue opening new stores and doing other things, cost-effective things, coming out with an app to help them order and to streamline and cut costs. They would be able to do a lot of things to continue to increase income to keep that EPS up. Because EPS, earnings per share, is a simple formula. It's net income minus the preferred dividends, if there is some, like we just talked about, divided by the average sum of shares out there. Now, you can control how many shares are out there. A lot of firms do that with stock buybacks. But the biggest way that investors want to see this increase is with net income increasing. And there's gonna come a point, if Chick-fil-A ever went public, where they're not gonna have that many more places to open stores. They're not gonna be able to streamline and cut costs and become more efficient like the investors want to see to get that EPS to go up. So what will happen? Because institutional investors are the primary investors in businesses, retail investment, that is the individuals, you and me, those that aren't in the big firms buying millions of shares at once, they are going to be putting pressure on Chick-fil-A management to open on Sundays because that's a seventh of the week. And they're going to be seeing it as how much more money is going to be introduced into the company, how much income can be brought in to bump up that EPS. Now, there's tons of other metrics. I'm not saying this is the only one. This is the only one that matters. But that's just the case in point that these investors, these institutional investors, would put pressure on Chick-fil-A to compromise their values so they get a bigger return. The stock market does not care about values as much as it does earnings. And so Chick-fil-A, because they gave up their parts of their company, because however many stock share, I mean, how many shares of stock they sold as a percentage of the total is how much ownership of the company they gave up. And so they don't have as much control over the company and the culture and the values as they once did with a publicly traded company. And so those investors would be forcing them and eventually put pressure on them to open on Sundays. That's kind of like a metaphor for all the values that a company could have. Anything that is getting in the way of a company increasing their income that is just a clear bullseye of something that anyone could see, that company is going to have so much pressure on them to cave on that value in order to increase income. And that is why I don't want to see a lot of Christian companies in the public stock exchange, at least right now with our culture. I want to see strong, big private companies. And there is nothing wrong with a private company. A lot of private companies do really well and can make a big influence, like we've talked about before, the importance of being successful. And you don't need to be on the public stock exchange. Okay, so for those of you who do have money, have been asking me, what can I do to help support invest in companies? Now, we've talked about this before. What is investment? It's basically you're putting down money today and expectations you're going to increase your, and that money in the future and you get a return, or ROI, a return on investment. So what are some of the things you can do? Well, you could become an angel investor. And there's a lot of websites like Angel's List, Gust. There's like tons that you could put yourself out there as an investor and have companies come to you, and you could put your criteria of what you invest in, what are the typical things that you're looking for, like Christian values could be one of them, and what are your expertise, because a lot of times you, as a company, you look for an investor that can add not only their money, but their experience and expertise as well. So those are one option. Two, you can look into crowdfunding. There's a lot of companies, they talk about who they are, and you can look for Christian companies to help some of those crowdfunding sites give shares of equity to them. No, just make sure that you understand the terms and what you actually get for the money, because they change, they can be different. A lot of those sites, the company can set the terms. Another thing that could be really interesting that I actually might be interested in doing is starting a venture capital firm where we raise up money and look for companies to put some seed money in and to come alongside maybe a Series A that's a little farther down the line. Oh, that should be a good, that would be a good investment show, the different series of investment. But that could be a really cool one. We get together with Christian organizations, maybe some churches, and that could be an extension of the credit union discussion we were having, and come along and group together our money, pool together our money, and look for companies that have strong Christian values that are biblically based and help them grow and come alongside them. Maybe even it's an incubator where they're really just ideas and we give them a small amount of money and we come together, pool together our expertise and help them grow, give them some office space. I don't know. That is an idea that I've wanted to have for a while. So if you guys are interested in that, that have some money, I might be interested in going in on that as well. So if you want to reach out to me, you can email me or find me on social media. We could talk about that more. And lastly, you can invest in the business plan contest winner. We're going to have him on the or her on the show. I'm assuming they're going to be a Christian, but they might not be. But most likely they will be. And we will have them on sometime, maybe April or May, depending on how many applicants we get. That business plan, go to episode 90. If you want to find out more details, you can see the details in the show notes. We are going to have a business plan contest, or we have a business plan contest, for you guys to write up a business plan for an idea you have, an existing business, or a company that you work for, and submit them to me by March 31st. And the winner gets a swag bag full of HTB stuff, but more importantly, you get an interview with free advertising on the show. And for those of you looking to invest in a company and you like the idea, you like the business plan, maybe we can hook you guys up and you could talk about making a business deal. So another great reason for you to get in on this business plan contest is there's a lot of people that have been reaching out to me looking for people to support and invest their money into in a good solid company. And there is no better way to prove your solid company or your idea than a business plan. So think about that, pray about that. And if you want to talk to me or have any questions about what we've talked about, maybe the venture capital firm or doing an incubator or the contest, whatever it is, you can reach out to me, matthowtobuild10.com. You can find me on the social media sites. Please share the show. Please tag somebody. If you're watching this on the social media sites, give me a follow. I really appreciate that. And we will talk to you next time. God bless.